Anda bersama SBS Bahasa Indonesia. Dapatkan lebih banyak lagi cerita bagus di sbs.com.au/indonesian.
Bersama dengan SBS Indonesian kali ini, pendengar, kita akan membahas mengenai demensia. Riset Australian Bureau of Statistics yang dirilis 14 November lalu menunjukkan bahwa demensia telah melampaui penyakit jantung sebagai penyebab kematian utama di Australia, dengan lebih dari 17.500 kematian pada tahun 2024. Untuk mengetahui lebih dalam tentang hal ini, SBS Indonesian sempat berbincang dengan Profesor Amy Broadman, seorang profesor neurologi di Monash University yang juga menjalankan klinik gangguan kognitif di Royal Melbourne Hospital dan Box Hill Hospital. Berikut ini informasi dari beliau.
My name is Amy Broadman. I'm a professor of neurology at Monash University in the School of Translational Medicine, and I also run two cognitive disorders clinics in Melbourne, one at the Royal Melbourne Hospital and one at Box Hill Hospital.
Mengenai riset ABS bahwa demensia adalah penyebab kematian utama di Australia, Profesor Broadman mengatakan bahwa demensia dapat menjadi faktor langsung dan tidak langsung. Banyak orang menganggap demensia hanya menyebabkan lupa saja, padahal demensia adalah kondisi progresif dan fatal yang mempengaruhi kemampuan seseorang untuk bergerak, berjalan, merawat diri sendiri, makan dengan benar, dan bahkan menelan dengan aman. Kehilangan fungsi tubuh secara progresif ini membuat penderita rentan terkena penyakit lain yang dapat menyebabkan kematian.
I think that dementia has been a leading cause of death of people in Australia and around the world for many years. So it's partly how we've recorded it. The problem it has been is that dementia has been underreported because the underlying cause for these people to have severe, you know, a lung disease or a chest infection has been a progressive loss of function because of dementia. So I think we often think of dementia as being a fairly benign process, a process that just causes us to be forgetful. But the fact is, dementia is, for most of the causes of dementia, progressive and fatal. And it not just affects our memory or our language. There's a number of different ways it can affect our ability to speak or think, make decisions or plan and remember. But eventually it affects our ability to get around, to walk, to care for ourselves, to be able to eat properly and swallow safely. And eventually that can cause issues with prolonged immobility and chest infections. So yes, people can die of dementia. It's the progressive loss of our bodily functions, meaning that eventually, you know, we can't eat safely or our lungs, we don't breathe properly, we don't move enough to be clearing, you know, our lungs for our hearts to be beating well, so we become very sedentary. People are at risk of high risk of infections, either from skin infections or lung infections. And sometimes people die, you know, directly because they just can't move or eat or swallow.
Ketika ditanya apa yang sebenarnya menyebabkan demensia, Profesor Broadman mengatakan bahwa tidak ada satu jenis demensia dan tidak ada satu penyebab tunggal. Yang paling umum mendasari demensia adalah penyakit Alzheimer. Faktor yang meningkatkan resiko terkena demensia ternyata sama dengan faktor resiko untuk penyakit jantung, seperti tekanan darah tinggi, diabetes, tidak aktif secara fisik, merokok, dan kolesterol tinggi. Di beberapa bagian dunia, polusi udara juga menjadi faktor resiko. Faktor-faktor ini sebenarnya dapat dicegah. Faktor genetik juga dapat meningkatkan resiko seseorang terkena demensia. Untungnya, faktor genetik sangat amat jarang terjadi. Profesor Broadman mengatakan sangat penting untuk segera mendapat diagnosa setelah gejala-gejala demensia muncul.
So there is no single dementia and there is no single cause. The commonest process underlying dementia in between 60 and 80% of people, depending on what country you're in, is a disease called Alzheimer's disease, which is caused by, we think, two proteins being deposited in the brain, abnormal way. The risk factors for dementia dementia globally are the same risk factors for heart disease. Things like high blood pressure, diabetes, being physically inactive, smoking, cholesterol to a lesser extent. So there are many different what we regard as preventable or modifiable risk factors for dementia. We sometimes divide them up into early life, midlife, and late life. And the midlife ones are all really cardiovascular. There is, in some parts of the world, air pollution as a risk factor, according to the Lancet Commission. The early life ones are things like lack of education. The late life ones are things like being socially isolated and hearing loss, actually. So there are many modifiable risk factors. There are some things that we can't do much about. One of the strongest risk factors is getting older. Obviously, we can't do anything about that. And there are some genetic causes of dementia, but they just increase our risk. Actual genetic dementia is quite rare, fortunately. But Alzheimer's is just one of many causes, and another really common cause of dementia, particularly in most of Central and Southeast Asia, is vascular dementia, which absolutely has the same risk factors as for stroke and heart disease.
Dengan adanya diagnosis, seseorang dapat memperlambat perkembangan demensia, yaitu dengan perubahan gaya hidup, termasuk olahraga dan perubahan makanan yang dikonsumsi. Untuk Alzheimer, ada juga terapi obat yang dapat memperlambat perkembangannya. Namun, perlu diketahui bahwa obat tersebut agak sulit didapatkan karena harganya yang tidak murah dan penderita mungkin tidak memenuhi syarat untuk dapat mengonsumsi. Kemudian, Profesor Brodmann menggarisbawahi bahwa obat-obat tersebut tidak menyembuhkan Alzheimer, hanya memperlambat perkembangan penyakit sekitar 5 atau 6 bulan.
The real push at the moment for early diagnosis is that if we know that you've got the risk factors for dementia, we know that actually aggressively treating those can slow down dementia progression. We know, particularly with vascular risk factors and vascular dementia or cognitive impairment and dementia, that if we ask people to exercise more, exercise interventions have been shown to slow down the progression of dementia. So early intervention from lifestyle points of view is fantastic. Making sure we look at diet and getting that people are getting adequate nutrition. Often the Mediterranean diet or Medi-Dash diet is proposed, but that has to be modified depending on where you live and what you eat. But I think that can be done, you know, having a mostly plant-based diet with lots and lots of colours and eat the rainbow, if you like, is really important. Not too much saturated fat. And all of these interventions, particularly a diet that's got lots of micronutrients, and it is going to be important to slow progression. Right now in the world, there have been two new therapies that have been approved for the treatment of early Alzheimer's disease. And there's been a really big push to try to get people assessed because to say whether or not they're eligible for these agents. I think that's a little problematic because one of the issues is that most people, one, couldn't afford these drugs because they're not available in Australia on the PBS, and two, probably wouldn't be eligible. They don't have Alzheimer's or they reasons that they can't be on the drug. But I think that push to get people diagnosed means that we can intervene with lifestyle interventions. We can intervene with support and education to the person with the living experience of dementia and their family members. They are not curing Alzheimer's. They are, at the moment, they have a modest effect of slowing down the disease progression by about 5 or 6 months. So we really are a long way from a cure. I'm hoping that the next 5 to 10 years will show greater advances. I think it's hugely exciting that these drugs are available, but I think that we need to do a lot more and we need better interventions, better prevention strategies, and better diagnostic tests as well.
Tentang penelitian yang sedang dijalankan di dunia bahwa vaksin shingles kemungkinan mengurangi resiko demensia, Profesor Brodmann mengatakan, penelitian ini sangat menarik karena dapat berarti bahwa virus atau hasil dari infeksi viruslah yang mempengaruhi sistem saraf dan meningkatkan resiko demensia. Sebagai seorang dokter, Profesor Brodman mendukung masyarakat untuk mendapatkan vaksin terlepas dari hasil akhir penelitian ini.
It is super exciting and it speaks to an hypothesis about dementia risk that inflammation in the brain after an infection or after a virus or any kind of illness actually drives the processes that can cause degeneration of the brain. So this last study created a huge splash. People were very interested when this was published. Could I say, should we get vaccinated? Well, I mean, I'm a medical doctor, so I'm always going to say be vaccinated.
Demensia juga dapat menyerang orang yang masih muda di usia 40-an atau 50-an. Gejala demensia ini seringkali sangat berbeda dari seseorang di usia 80-an atau 90-an. Gejalanya terlihat sangat mirip dengan seseorang yang super cemas atau super depresi.
So the two clinics that I run are largely looking at people with younger onset dementia. I think people should know it happens. And that's, you know, obviously, as you said, it's something that a lot of the community don't understand. I think that the symptoms of younger onset dementia are often quite different from someone in their 80s or 90s becoming forgetful. The symptoms can look a lot like someone who's super anxious or super depressed, or they may become really disorganized in their thinking. They may not have the same level of empathy or sympathy, and it can look a lot like, you know, depression for some people. Yes, for some people it is a memory issue, but for many it isn't. So I think it's a real impetus that, you know, if someone in your life has those symptoms, we should really be encouraging them to get assessed. Now, it could be that it is depression or anxiety. Midlife is a time when mental health issues often become very prevalent as well. But the issue with dementia, particularly in younger people, is that often the insight into the illness is affected. And so they're not necessarily going to say, oh, I need to go to the doctor. Obviously, often it's the family members, friends, co-workers actually have to be encouraging people with these symptoms to go to see their GP. The two commonest causes of young onset dementia in Australia are still Alzheimer's disease being the commonest, but another condition called frontotemporal dementia. And frontotemporal dementia doesn't present with memory problems. It presents with changes in behavior, changes in emotions, changes in thinking and judgment, and changes in insight.
Australian Institute of Health and Welfare mencatat hampir 30% orang dengan demensia di Australia berasal dari multikultural Australia. Profesor Brodman mengatakan bahwa ada tantangan khusus untuk komunitas multikultural termasuk Indonesia yang dihadapi dalam mendapatkan diagnosa. Jika mereka pergi ke rumah sakit, daftar tunggu bisa sangat panjang dan kadang sulit mendapatkan penerjemah. Sehingga informasi yang didapat dari keluarga dan pasien menjadi tidak memadai. Ada juga masalah budaya. Di beberapa budaya, ada stigma besar tentang demensia. Ada juga pendapat yang mengatakan bahwa tidak seharusnya membicarakan atau mendiagnosis demensia karena itu tidak sopan terhadap orang tua. Kemudian, mendapatkan dukungan untuk orang dengan demensia bisa sangat sulit, seperti mencoba menemukan perawat dari latar belakang agama atau budaya yang sama bisa sulit karena ada kekurangan pekerja perawat secara umum di Australia.
Challenges are many. Obviously, the first is getting a diagnosis, because many people, if they go to a public hospital, the wait lists are very long, and sometimes it's hard to get an interpreter, so we get inadequate information from the family and the patient. If they go to see someone in private, sometimes they'll be speaking the same dialect, sometimes they won't, and there may be cultural reasons why they don't want to speak to that person as well. There are some cultural issues. In some cultures, there's a huge stigma about dementia, where some people say that we shouldn't talk about it or diagnose it because it's disrespect to our elders. That's not in all cultures, but in some, there can be cultural reasons why people don't want to actually discuss this with their family members. And then once the diagnosis is made, trying to get support for people with dementia can be really difficult, because because there might be reasons why having someone come into your home to do care, particularly personal care, is not appropriate. Trying to think of someone who might be in from the same religious background or the same cultural background can be difficult because there's a lack of care workers generally. And negotiating the whole either NDIS or my aged care when English is not your first language is enormously challenging. I can tell you, if English is your first language, it's enormously challenging. So it's super hard.
Untuk mengetahui hal-hal apa yang harus diperhatikan ketika merawat orang dengan demensia di rumah, saya juga sempat terhubung dengan Susana Kodiat, diaspora Indonesia yang bekerja sebagai perawat di Adelaide. Berikut ini percakapan kami.
Halo Ibu Susana. Sudah berapa lama Anda merawat orang dengan demensia?
Saya di tempat yang ini aja udah 10 tahun. Saya udah loncat dari mana? Dari satu nursing home ke nursing home. Kayaknya semua dari care sampai sekarang saya jadi nurse itu mungkin di atas 15 tahun lah.
Sekarang Ibu bekerjanya di mana berarti? Di rumah sakit?
Enggak. Dulu saya pernah di rumah sakit. Sekarang saya tuh kerja di nursing home.
Oh iya. Dan ini apa tips praktis paling penting nih yang bisa Ibu berikan nih kepada seseorang yang merawat anggota keluarga dengan demensia di rumah ya Ibu?
Tipnya sih sama aja ya, seperti kita mengurus orang tua sendiri. Tipnya itu sabar, be patient sama dia. Jadi kalau misalnya nih, kalau saya kan ngasih obat nih, obatnya itu kan banyak sekali. Saya kasihnya important dulu, kan biasanya obatnya itu saya kasih ke tangannya. Kadang-kadang dia megang aja diliatin, saya pakai sendok, ayo ini makan ini dulu, obat. Nah intinya itu harus sabar.
Ketika seseorang dengan demensia mungkin ada yang sering kecenderungan lupa gitu ya, mengulang pertanyaan. Bagaimana nih Bu cara berkomunikasi yang baik dalam situasi seperti ini?
Saya nih punya ibu nih, contohnya saya nih sendiri, ibu saya di Indonesia. Ibu saya udah pelupa kan? Pertanyaannya kan diulang-ulang. Nanti nanya lagi, apa saya bilang, kan kemarin udah mami nanya, oh iya gitu ya. Nanti jadi saya alihkan dengan pertanyaan apa dan mengingatkan dia. Ingat gak ini kemarin ini? Saya, ayo coba ingetin makan apa tadi, kalau gitu. Makan apa coba ingat-ingat gitu. Harus kayaknya di-encourage, diingatkan kembali. Jadi kayaknya kayak memori-memori. Soalnya gini nih, jadi mundur lagi. Orang tua di Indonesia itu kayaknya udah pelupa gitu tuh. Keluarga itu udah pelupa gitu. Enggak. Jadi diingetin bahwa ini foto-foto. Saya kan dengan residen saya ini foto ini siapa gitu kan. Dia enggak akan ingat. Tapi dia kadang-kadang suatu hari dia bilang, oh ada suatu kata-kata yang keluar dan dia tuh tahu itu siapa. Tidak mudah.
Dan ini berarti orang dengan demensia tapi tetap juga sih ya Bu ya, harus olahraga begitu ya?
Harus. Kan sekarang orang demensianya itu macam-macam nih. Ibu saya udah mulai pelupa. Jadi kan diingatkan kan pengennya kalau udah sepuh itu tidur aja kan. Nah di tempat kami itu jadi ada suatu permainan kayak main game gitu. Warna apa? Mungkin kalau untuk itu, kamu buat mainan anak kecil. Enggak. Jadi memorinya diingetin lagi ini apa. Terus kayaknya gambar. Kayak ada gambar kayaknya masang mata, masang hidung, masang apa. Terus ada gambar garis, pakai pensil, terus coloring. Itu bagus sekali.
Jadi
bagus
olahraga sekali. Itu bukan hanya olahraga fisik ya Ibu ya? Berarti olahraga seperti itu juga gitu ya?
Iya, betul. Olahraga ya banyak aktivitas sekali. Ya, selain olahraga fisik ya, olahraga untuk memori gitu, itu harus terus gitu. Untuk jadi jangan terlalu cepat mundur ya, untuk yang jaga di rumah. Terus selalu harus diajak berbicara, jangan ditinggalkan sendiri. Mereka tuh lonely, dan mereka jadi putus asa, jadi ngapain sih? Nah, kalau dulu latar belakangnya misalnya dia di tempat di laundry nih, kasih lipetan anduk, kasih kerjaan, lipet-lipet, jangan di stop. Kalau misalnya ibu udah tua nih di rumah, punya jaga di rumah, biasa beres-beres, biarin. Tapi kita harus lihat, jangan sampai dia jatuh. Biarin, jangan dibilang, jangan udah tua. Kalau di Indonesia kan begitu. Jangan nanti gini, jangan dilarang, biarkan.
Kalau dengan olahraganya itu sendiri, olahraga apa tuh, Bu?
Olahraganya di kami itu, kadang-kadang ada olahraga. Nah, ini buat lingkaran nih. Nanti ada yang orang bagian lifestyle-nya tuh di tengah. Terus nanti lempar ini, lempar bola. Bola yang besar, yang ringan itu lemparin, balikin lagi, lemparin, balikin lagi. Kebayang nggak?
Iya, seperti untuk refleksnya juga ya.
Betul, ya.
Misalnya nih, kalau di rumah nih, apa yang harus diperhatikan di dalam rumah supaya aman begitu?
Yang kayak ini nih, kayak kompor, ya kan? Dia ceklek-ceklek itu kan bahaya, korek api. Yang tajam-tajam itu, jangan sampai ini. Kalau bisa itu kayak kalau udah demensia itu harus ditutup ya. Kayak di secure, kayak kita punya anak kecil gitu. Locker-locker itu yang bahaya-bahaya. Untuk orang tua yang udah punya demensia di rumah, kayak ke kamar mandi, hati-hati, jangan sampai slip, air panas. Jadi tetap kita jaga mereka, jangan ditinggal gitu. Tapi usahakan kayak di rumah gitu ya, kita harus tetap jaga dia. Untuk kayak ke kamar mandi, di luar, misalnya dia suka gardening, di luar biar dia sih nyiram-nyiram, itu tetap kita awasin. Jangan yang bahaya-bahaya kayak gimana nih, jangan sampai kesandung lah. Di mobil, tergantung mobilitasnya dia. Biasanya sih gak apa-apa ya, dibawa di mobil, dia suka lihat pemandangan alam gitu. Dulu saya pernah kerja kayak di rumahan gitu, suka, mereka suka sekali. Tetap safety beltnya itu dipasang. Dan sesuatu yang mereka suka itu music. Kalau dengan musik itu, kamu bisa ngelihat mukanya itu akan semeringah. Music is the best therapy kalau buat saya.
Demikian Anne Parisiana melaporkan tentang penyakit demensia untuk SBS Indonesian. Untuk informasi lebih lanjut tentang demensia, hubungi Demensia Australia Helpline di 1800 100 500.
Sukai, berbagi, komentar. Ikuti SBS Program Bahasa Indonesia di Facebook.